and read to verse 23. And then Wednesday, we'll only study 3 verses, because the Bible has a lot to say in a short amount of verses. And our interns will preach Wednesday night. That'll be great. In addition, our singles will have a breakout service in the fellowship hall. And we're all going to be running a race with purpose, as those passages describe to us. Starting at verse 19, let's read the Word of God together. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And we'll look at 3 points from these verses this morning. Point number 1 is a winning strategy. And Paul has a lot to say about this concept of freedom. In fact, he starts in verse 19 by saying, I am free. Just like the church in Corinthians was saying, we are free to do whatever we want. But Paul will tell them, you're free, but you have to give up your rights for the sake of everyone. And he has this paradox as a statement. I'm free, but I become a slave to everybody. So Paul's mindset, even though you have such great freedom, he uses it to help people become Christians. And later on in this book, Paul will say to the church in Corinth, in chapter 11, verse 1, he's explaining, here's my example, church. I want you to see the way I operate. I want you to see the way I think. I want you to see the way I behave. And then in chapter 11, verse 1, he'll bring it all to a conclusion and say, imitate me as I follow Jesus. So here we're learning how Paul thinks that something we need to imitate as he follows Christ. And point number 1 is Paul has a winning strategy. And it's always important to have a good strategy for winning, isn't it? Because people like to win. Men like to win. Women like to win. We're all competitive in our nature, and we like to win. And maybe it was tic-tac-toe that was the first time you started to develop a winning strategy. And I remember, you know, you have the 9 little blocks and which little spot to choose from. And, you know, as an amateur, perhaps, you start on the outside and you put an X in the outside blocks. And as an amateur, you don't win that way. But as you develop your game and you think, man, oh, that was a draw. The cat got that game. But this one, we'll have a winning strategy. I'm going to start in the center. You know, and that's where people, hey, how do you get, hey, you start in the center. You develop a winning strategy. Even in our youth, in childhood, tic-tac-toe, you guys remember that, I'm sure. Maybe you don't, but maybe you played rock, paper, scissors. Surely, you know, you had a strategy. And hey, 1, 2, 3, you know, maybe you have a strategy. I'm going to tell them what I'm going to play first, because maybe they'll think I'm not really going to play that. And I'll play the rock, and maybe they'll play scissors. Maybe, I don't know if you do that or not, but some people actually do that because there's a rock, paper, scissor committee. And they go and they play these competitions. And the grand prize, $10,000. Hey, you better believe I'm going to have a winning strategy. I'm going to figure that out. You know, and I'm going to figure out how to have a winning strategy. Some people have this strategy when they play the lottery. You know, I'm just going to confess. I get annoyed when I'm in a convenience store. I just want to get a Gatorade. You know, and I'm sure you've experienced this. And the person in front of you gets like 50 lottery tickets and fills them out. I'm like, come on. What? You know, but there's even people that have strategies for winning the lottery. They set aside, I read it, they set aside money each month. He says, if you want to win the lottery, here's a definite strategy to eventually win. Set aside about $150 a month and use that. I'm like, yeah, right. I have $150 a month. I'm not playing the lottery with it. That's not my strategy. In this short text, verse 19 through 23, Paul uses the word when 5 times. In verse 19, to win as many as possible. In verse 20, to win the Jews. And again, to win those under the law. Verse 21, to win those not having the law. Verse 22, to win the weak. And so in Paul, we get to look at his brain and we get to look at his winning strategy. And it is revealed in verse 22. He says, I become all things to all men. And he also introduces it in verse 19. I become a slave to everybody. Now, to be honest, that's probably not the best way to approach many things in life, is it? You know, to win, you have to come off strong. You got to start on the right foot and you got to have strength. And that's the most effective way to win normally. At least that's the way I think. Let's start strong. Let's crush. Let's conquer. Paul says, I become a slave. That's his winning strategy. It's very similar to the attitude of Jesus, isn't it? Who comes and dies on a cross and displays weakness in order to win as many as possible. And Paul will explain in verse 20, to the Jews, I became like a Jew. If you read through the book of Acts, when Paul goes to the synagogue and he meets Jewish people, what does he do? He connects to them. If they're Jews, he knows how to connect to them. In Acts chapter 16, he goes to the synagogues and he reasons with them. And the Bible says, from the scriptures. So when he's dealing with a person from a Jewish background, he knows their heritage. He knows their roots. He knows how to connect. And he knows they know the scriptures. So he uses the scriptures. He knows their customs. He knows that they're not supposed to eat certain things. So when he hangs out with them, he doesn't eat those things because he knows that's how he can connect with them. Of course, Paul was a Jew. So it's kind of funny. To the Jews, I became a Jew. But the reason he says that is when he becomes a new creation, it transcends every ethnic background. So now in his mind, it's like, to people that are Jewish, I become like them because I'm a new creation now. I'm not Jewish anymore, but I become like them to help them understand the gospel. He also says to those under the law. And so there's a little bit of explanation for that. There's Jews that were raised in Judaism and he becomes like them. And then there's people who adapt Judaism and they take the law and they make that their standard. And Paul says, I become like those people as well. And then to those without the law, he'll go on to explain in verse 21. That would be us. We're all Gentiles. So when Paul meets people that aren't Jewish, he knows how to connect to them. In Acts chapter 17, he's in Athens, and he doesn't use one scripture when he's reaching out to people. Not one scripture. He knows how to connect to them, though. He says, man, I know what you guys think. You guys believe in God, and I see your idols, and there's some kind of understanding of God, and I've read your poetry, and here's something about what your poets say. He connects with them. He doesn't act like some super religious guy. He connects to them, but he doesn't compromise the gospel. And so for Paul, you got to think about his first move. In rock, paper, scissors, his first move, tick-tack, wasn't to come off strong and say, look at me, I'm an apostle. And let me flex my apostolic muscles. And let me show you my wounds. And let me tell you my revelations. And let me tell you my missionary journeys and what I've done and who I've converted. He says, no, I become a slave to everyone. Slaves become property of their owner. And so the owner will dictate their agenda. So Paul says, now I want to be so connected to you that my agenda is in somehow, way, shape, or form dictated by you so that I can help you understand the gospel. And that's lowering himself to the lowest degree so that somebody can understand the gospel. You know, this applies to our lives because, you know, this should be, in some way, shape, or form, the way that we think. Because Paul says, imitate me. And I believe that for us, as a church, as a region, as a movement of God, we need to figure out, man, we need to have some kind of winning strategy. Perhaps it's not even on your brain. Perhaps it's not even on your mind. But we need to at least start to think in these terms. Now I got to win as many people as possible. That's the way Paul lived and breathed his life. Imagine if Paul would have been a Christian in high school. He would have came to high school with a razor-tight focus. And think, man, how can I get in to the guys who play sports? How can I connect to the guys who are strong? can I connect to the guys that are smart? How can I connect to the guys that are on the fringes and nobody seems to hang out with at the lunch table? How can I connect to those people? That would have been his strategy. I need to become like them. If he was in college, he would have done the same thing. How can I get in with this group? And these are the academic type, and these are the sporty type, and these are the other type, whatever type that might be. But whatever it was, Paul was determined to become like those people. It's not a game. But Paul's, man, this is about winning souls. I want to win as many as possible. It also applies to our lives because it's a difficult task to just break yourself down and serve somebody. But that's what Paul says he does. He becomes a servant. He becomes a slave. And this is very challenging because that means we need to be super involved in people's lives. Young Marriage had a depot last night. And it was incredible. We talked about hospitality and how it's a spiritual discipline, bringing someone into your home and having fellowship with them so they're built up and they're encouraged, even if you don't know that person. So you can learn about that person and you can connect to that person. And that's what Paul says. Now I learned how to connect to people. And for us, we all need to have this strategy, man. We need to learn to win as many as possible. Whatever that means for you, whatever type of background you have, or whatever type of people that you reach out to, we got to learn to win as many as possible. Amen? Point number two, becoming weak. It's interesting that Paul rattles off, there's the Jew, there's the Gentile, then there's the weak. He doesn't even cover the strong. You know, to the strong I became strong. Because Corinth has this overinflated view of themselves. They think they're strong Christians. They think they're wise. And so Paul says, no, I become like weak people. But weakness really isn't prized, is it? I don't know if we salute or celebrate weakness in our culture and in our mentality. There's no contest for the world's weakest man, is there? If there is, I haven't seen it. Those guys are huge. The world's strongest man. Even in our game shows, you are the what? Weakest link. Goodbye. You know, the person who doesn't know how to answer the questions. They're publicly humiliated as the weakest link. Even in our sports and advertising, nobody has a little tiny lamb as their mascot. We're the mighty lambs, you know. Nobody has that. We're the lions. We're the bears. Or we're the rhinos. Or, you know, strength. And that's, we're attracted to those symbols of strength. You wouldn't purchase a product that has a weakling as its logo. But it's interesting, if Paul did have a logo, which I don't believe he did, but if he did have a logo, I don't think it would be impressive at all. It'd be this symbol of weakness. Because that's what Paul celebrated. And in verse 22, he says, to the weak, I became weak. To win the weak. And it's very true that Paul is talking about members of the church here. To help them get strong. To help them make it to heaven. Because he's already dealt with the Jews. He wants to win them to Christianity. To the Gentiles. He wants to win them to Christianity. Now he talks about the weak. And for Paul, this concept of weak is, it has a variety of meanings. Sometimes he'll say that it's of himself. In 1 Corinthians, when he starts out his ministry to Corinth, he says, I came to you in weakness and in fear and trembling. And then he'll say later that God chose the weak things of the world to shame the wise. So in comparison to God, we're all weak. That's kind of Paul's view. But now he's talking about there's weak people in the church whose faith hasn't been strengthened yet. There's a parallel in chapter 10, verse 32, verse 33, where he'll say to the church in Corinth, we don't cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, which is what he talks about in this passage, we win Jews, to the Greeks or to the Gentiles. We don't want them to stumble. And then in chapter 10, verse 32 through 33, he'll say, or people in the church of God. And so we don't want people on the outside. We want to help them become Christians. But people on the inside, we want to help them get strong in their faith so they can make it as well. I become weak. And what Paul's doing here is he's showing a huge contrast in the way that Corinth and the church dealt with people that were weak and how he thinks about it. Because in their mind, if you're a Christian in Corinth and somebody's weak, their mentality is get over it. That's basically what they think. Hey, if you don't like the way I eat, Sorry, I'll eat meat anyway because you obviously don't understand. Paul says, man, no, I don't act like that at all. I become like them. And you guys have it twisted. And so Paul will say he delights in these weaknesses. And Paul also has this concept of being weak as someone's faith. You know, and it's not sin. It's just a fact that often young Christians aren't mature in their faith. And so Paul says, man, sometimes they're weak. And as a result, sometimes they don't make the best decisions. And Paul wants to strengthen the faith of the weak. In Romans chapter 4, verse 19, he talks about Abraham. He says Abraham was about 100 years old. And God said, you're going to have a kid. And Abraham, the Bible says, he faced the facts, but he didn't weaken his faith. And so there was an opportunity where Abraham could have been, oh man, I could get weak because I don't really believe that. But he stayed strong. He didn't waver. He didn't grow weak in his faith. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, Paul says, the strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, in our book that we're reading currently, he says some people's conscience are weak because they haven't been educated about what is mature in the faith. Chapter 8, verse 9, don't become a stumbling block to the weak. And later when he starts talking about the body, in chapter 12, verse 22, he says, there's some parts in the body that are weaker, but they are indispensable. And you guys in Corinth think you can just do away with them because they're weak. And we could summarize the entire gospel really by saying Jesus took on weakness. He was God in flesh and he came down and was a man. He became weak to win the weak. And that's what Paul explains in Philippians chapter 2. This is a huge point for all of us. Because I believe that we can spend lots of time on winning and the strategy and lots of time focusing on evangelism and lots of time studying the Bible, people. But Paul says, I spend just as much energy, just as much effort helping the weak as I do trying to win people to Christ. That's a huge concept for Paul and for us. And for us. Jesus has the same mentality in Luke chapter 15. He tells a couple parables. He said, if I have 100 sheep, and one wanders away, I'm going to make every effort to go and find that one. If I have 10 coins and I lose one, I'm going to sweep the house until I find it. That's the mentality of Jesus. I think it's important for us because sometimes maybe this aspect of church isn't on our radar. We know who we're trying to reach out to. We know somebody that we just met. We have their phone number. We call them. We know who we're studying the Bible with. We know who we're trying to bring to church and we look for them, but do we know who's weak in the faith? And are we spending just as much energy and just as much effort trying to connect to them, trying to reach out to them, trying to pull them in? That's convicting to me because I normally don't think like that. I want to move forward. I want to win. I want to win. Paul says I spend just as much energy helping the weak. You know, and I think that we may be willing to serve the people that are weak if it looks strong to people on the outside. Yeah, I'll help this, you know, weak person, as long as it looks strong to people that are looking at me. Paul says, no, I don't look strong. I become weak to help those people. If you consider yourself a strong Christian, the Bible says you should be protecting the weak. Protecting them. All of us need to spend just as much energy in both categories. This challenges me, and it should challenge you because that's a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to meet somebody and help them become a Christian, but it takes just as much energy to help somebody that's weak to become strong. And it needs to be on our radar. When we come to church, we need to say, hey, you know what? I didn't see so-and-so there. And then not just think about it, but follow up with it. Man, that convicts me because I want to spend just as much energy trying to help people that aren't strong in their faith yet. And we have Bible talks every other week. So when you see somebody that's not there, and man, not just think about, hey, where was so-and-so, but follow up with them. Call, visit, do something to become like them to help them be strong in their faith. Right. As a region, we all need to understand this, but as individuals as well, spend just as much energy helping those as you do on the mission. Amen. Amen. Lastly, and point number 3, all things, all men, all possible means. That's what Paul says in verse 22. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. In the beginning of his book, in his letter in 1 Corinthians, he'll kind of divide mankind into two categories. In chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it's the power of God." So in Paul's mind, if we were to look in there, he would see humanity lost, saved. No in between, clearly. Lost, saved. And so he says, these people are saved, so I want to spend energy helping them become strong. These people are lost, and I'll do whatever it takes by all means to help all men. And I'm not unrealistic. I know I will only save some. But he says, I'll do whatever it takes, any and every way necessary. You know, the popular phrase, by any means necessary. In literature, it was coined by Jean-Paul Sartre. He's a French guy. He wrote lots of books. Probably wouldn't know about him unless you were an English major, which I happen to be. Anyway, he wrote that book, and he talks about this. You know, by any means necessary, and what he means is that any tactic available to your means is okay, even if it means violence. And so this phrase was made popular by Malcolm X, because he said that. He had a speech, and he says, and what he says is very true. He says, we declare our right on this earth to be a man. He was a human rights activist. To be a human being. To be respected as a human being. To be given the rights of a human being in this society. On this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary. That was his conviction. Whatever it takes for people to recognize, that's what I'm going to do. Now, we don't resort to violence. We don't beat people. You know what I mean? But Paul says, whatever it takes, by all means necessary, all things, all men, all means, so I can save some. That's a deep conviction. And the mindset of Paul, if we're looking in there, we see his mind, and he sees people that are lost. He wants to figure out the most effective way to help them become a Christian. And we would also see he wants the widest range of people to become Christians. He doesn't just spend time with people that he's comfortable with in the Jewish circle. He doesn't just occasionally dabble with the Gentiles. He gets in there. He doesn't just see the weak from afar. He gets in there. He becomes all things to all people. It doesn't mean he compromises the gospel, though. He doesn't say, I do whatever it takes to help somebody. You know, if people go to the club and they're like, hey, I go with them. That's not what he says. He doesn't compromise the Bible. He doesn't compromise the standard. If they, you know, they need to go to the bar, and say, I'll go with them and I'll drink their kickback. Hey, I'm becoming like all things. Oh, man. You know, but I think that someone could use that. Or to people that are rebellious. Oh, man, let me come like the rebellious person. So they can look at me and say, man, he's rebellious like me. No, Paul does not compromise the standard of the gospel. But he becomes what is necessary so that person can see the gospel in flesh and blood. As Paul begins his letter back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he'll say in verse 18 that, you know, I preached to you, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those being saved is the power of God. Later on in verse 21, he'll say that the foolishness of what was preached. Paul talks a lot about his preaching. In chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, he says, when I came, I preached this message. So that's one part of it. Paul, he's out there. He's preaching the gospel. He's telling people what it means to be a Christian. He's talking to people about Jesus, and he's preaching the gospel. And that's his main emphasis. But here we capture, it's not just preaching alone, but he becomes the flesh and blood example so that somebody can see in his life what the gospel really looks like when it's truly lived out. You know, because it's equally important. You can't just have a good message and preach on something. I can't just get up here and say something. My life has to reflect. I need to become like people to win as many as possible. That's convicting. That's challenging. That should challenge all of us to not just talk, but also live the life that truly defines discipleship. Whoever Paul's audience, it doesn't matter. He wants to empathize with them. He wants to look them in the eye. He wants to be with them and understand what it is like to be them so they can understand the gospel. He wants them to think, man, if I become a Christian, what will it look like in my life? Let me look to Paul. Let me see how he lives. Let me see what he thinks. Let me see what he does. Let me see how he adapts to this situation. Because the gospel transcends culture. So if he meets somebody from a different background, hey, what is it going to look like for me? I'll watch Paul. Because he does everything necessary to win as many as he can. I think this challenges all of us. Because what is it for you that you need to do to win all possible by any means necessary? Maybe it's something very simple like combing your hair. So when people see you, like, hey, he's not disheveled looking. I don't mind talking to that guy. Maybe it's something that simple. Maybe it's even more complicated, such as having breath mints. So when you talk to people, your breath is a little more attractive. You know what I mean? All things. Hey, that's on a simple level, isn't it? You're not going to hear the gospel from somebody like, whoa. Amen. Maybe it's the way you dress. I had to learn that in college. I had to learn how to dress differently to reach out to all people. And I think that there's some realizations too. Black and white, we're different. And we have to recognize that. But we have to learn how to interact with each other so we can win both sides. Because in the gospel, there's one race. It transcends race. But there is a truth that we got to understand each other. Filipino, Texan, Matt, we got to be like you, brother. In this age, blended families. We need to learn how to connect to people that have those types of family. I appreciate the mothers in training. Even if that's not your situation, man, it's helpful to go and learn how to help somebody who has that scenario. That's what Paul's talking about. Whatever it takes, by any means necessary, just to win some. That's Paul's message. That's his mind. That's his heart. That's his lifestyle. So in these five verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we've taken a look into Paul's brain. A little sliver of how he thinks about the mission, how he thinks about how to save people, how he behaves in all circumstances. And he wants the church in Corinth to understand that. It's not a game that Paul's talking about. It's about winning souls. He says, I will do whatever it takes. This winning strategy, I will become a slave. So that people can understand the gospel. And to those people that are weak, we have to become like those that are weak. I want to share a proverb with you about that specific concept, and then we'll close out. Proverbs chapter 24. I think this is a huge point. This is something we really need to take to heart, and we really need to have it on our radar. Who's coming to church? Who's not coming to church? Who's doing well? Who's not doing well? So we can help them. We can have a plan to help them get strong in their faith. And in Proverbs chapter 24, the writer has a concept in verse 11 and verse 12 that talks about this. And it reads, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. If you say, we knew about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done? What's that saying? When you see somebody in their faith, and sometimes it'll use a metaphor of a ship. Someone's in the journey of faith, they're on a ship and they're out to sea. And you see somebody kind of veering off. And you say, oh yeah, I'm sure they'll figure it out. I'm sure somebody else. Man, this verse says you got to go after them. You got to help them. And that has to be the attitude of all of us. To help all people become strong. And lastly, Paul says, whatever it takes, whatever I have to become, whatever I have to do, whoever I have to connect with, all men, all things, by all means necessary, so that I can save some, and we can be that exact same way here in the Norfolk region. Amen.